Hey, I'm Stevie.
What's up? I'm Monty J.
And you're listening to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast,
where we take a deep dive with your favorite contemporary romance authors,
asking them questions about everything from their writing process to their reading habits, plus so much more.
Join us as we help you find your next bookshelf boyfriend.
What's up, bookworms? It's your host, Stevie.
What's up, guys? It's MJ. It's been a minute.
It's not technically the last episode of the year, but it's the last author of the year.
It is. I hope everybody had a really great holiday and enjoyed time with their family. I think everybody kind of needed it.
Yeah. We did.
And yeah, I hope everybody's been doing a lot of good reading and all that good jazz. We've missed you guys. I'm like shaking because I took that fucking 5-hour energy. But yeah, so I have just been writing, so nothing really interesting for me lately. But yeah, that's about it for me. Stevie, what have you been into?
I've been reading a lot lately. I'm doing a Vegas reading challenge. So for those who don't know, we are going to Vegas in October. So a friend of mine who is also a PA decided that we would do a reading challenge, and we're doing KU authors first.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done Adriana Locke first, and then we are doing Lara Pavlov, and then we are going to spin the wheel again because we randomly spin a wheel.
Yeah, to pick
the next author.
I love that.
So it's been a lot of fun. I just finished reading Willa Nash's The Nanny. The Naughty, the Nice, and the Nanny.
Oh, cool.
It's part of her Holiday Brothers series, which is really neat. It's like three novellas, and they're all Christmas books. So, the last one's called A Partridge in a Pregnancy.
Oh my god.
It's like the best title ever.
I love it.
I hate USPS this week, so what else is new? USPS has now lost 3 of my packages.
Of course they have. I'm not even surprised.
Including freaking Decker's birthday present.
Aww.
I texted Kat and I said, I don't have hope for this present coming to your house. So now I'm going to have to cancel it and reorder it on Amazon.
I hate Amazon sometimes.
So the thing I hate with Amazon Prime, we pay for Prime. Why the hell are our packages delivered by Prime? Like, I had ordered 3 books from Amazon because I got an Amazon gift card from one of my authors for Christmas. Shout out to Kat because she's the MVP. She was like, buy some new books for me. So I bought 3 books. And they freaking transferred it to USPS. And they freaking said they tried to deliver it. They were like, no access to the end, or no access to entry. And I'm like, I wasn't home, first of all. My dog wasn't outside because I wasn't home. So how did you not get into my yard?
I can't deal with it. Anyways, other than that, I haven't really done anything interesting. Like I said earlier, I'm super excited to chat with the author that we're supposed to chat with. We've had to reschedule like twice on my back.
Oh my god, this poor girl.
Shit. But I am really excited to talk to her. I think it's going to be super fun. She's one of our friends, and I think it's going to be great.
All right, well, let's go. Are we doing her bio?
I don't have it.
Okay, well, that's fine. We can
hold up. I'm gonna look it up. Stall.
Stall. I currently have beautiful Christmas decorations on my Zoom screen. Oh, be on the lookout for another episode. We are gonna have one more episode of the year. Not sure when we're gonna record it yet. MJ and I have to talk about that. But we are gonna do one last recap episode of 2021,
which is very exciting.
And we are going to recap all the episodes in 2021, which, by the way, this is episode 97.
Really?
This is
out of all. Gotta do something for 100.
I know. We're like 2 episodes away from. Well, so the next episode will be 98, and then we have one in the beginning of January, and I'm still booking all of those. So we'll probably have somebody cool, and we'll be at 100. Maybe we'll bring Charlena Pucci back just because she's fun to hang out with for 2 hours.
I love her, man. All right, okay, I have the bio. Here we go. How do you say her name again?
Alina.
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 Alina. Alina. Alina Lane writes swoony, steamy romance that combines all three to capture you from page one and keep you hooked long past the happily ever after. A pocket-sized powerhouse. Oh my God, that's cool. A pocket-sized powerhouse, Alina lives with her personal hunky hero and 2 children in Arizona. Slathering on sunscreen and living life to the fullest, she enjoys hiking, camping, fishing, and rock climbing in her desert backyard. When not hard at work on her next literary escape, you can find her embracing her badassery on Call of Duty, binge reading, or shopping for nail dip sets to complement her book covers. Without further ado, let's go ahead over there and talk to Miss Alina. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast, Alina Lane. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Can we give a round of applause for getting that one right?
Shut up. Honestly, it is the simplest name ever, but this is the hardest time I have ever had with any name on this podcast for some reason.
Besides JT Geiser.
I think I'm dying. My brain's short-circuiting. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on. We're super excited to talk to you and, you know, find out all the juicy details about you. I like to start things off by asking how the weather's at where you are.
First off, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, so our weather is fantastic. We're still in shorts and t-shirts.
Oh, of course. You know, I'll be honest with you, North Carolina, it's hot as balls here. We're still in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's freezing here.
I really wish it would snow. I miss the snow.
You can keep the cold weather. I mean, I'm going to Colorado tomorrow, so I'll be in kind of cold weather. So
I love the cold weather on it. I love the cold weather, honestly. I would much rather be in the cold than I would the hot. And so I'm not a fan of it. It's humid and sticky and gross, and it's not nice at all.
See, we don't have humidity, and I'm a native, so I'm so used to our summers. You literally just go from your air-conditioned house to your air-conditioned car to your air-conditioned workplace to an air-conditioned store. So
it's air in between.
You're literally just going from a cold place to a cold place to a cold place while it's 120 degrees outside.
So. Jesus Christ, you could fucking cook an egg on the fucking concrete in that weather.
You really can.
I am not surprised. Okay, so we're going to hop right into questions about, you know, your books and that kind of thing. Stevie, am I highlighted?
I'm highlighted.
Okay, so Stevie's going to kick it off. So Stevie, take it away.
I can't talk today. We are going to dive right into the Heartfelt series with book one, which is Reclaimed Love. And this is a second chance romance with Eric and Kate, which I love how you spelled this name, by the way. What was your initial? Yeah. I like how it's spelled.
Yeah, you don't have dyslexia.
So I have a thing for weird names. My son's name is D'Artagnan and my daughter's name is Anara. And like, I have like, I like unique names. My husband has the most normal name in our family because his name is Nick. So I'm sorry for that. So a lot of my characters have like funk-a-tarded spelling. So
I like it though.
It's fine. You're talking to somebody who was named after a female rock star.
It's fine.
It's all good. It's okay. And I have one really weird name. Nobody knows anybody else named Stevie besides Stevie Nicks.
It's cool. I love it.
I can dig it.
So what was your initial inspiration for this story?
So Jackson and Olivia, so the hero and heroine of book 2, came to me first. Okay. But the more that I wrote their story, the more I realized that Kate and Eric's story needed to come first. So I had to stop. I think I was like 70,000 words into their story. And I was like, I cannot do this. So I had to stop and then write the first book, which is Kate and Eric, before I could actually like fully tell Jackson and Olivia. So they were the inspiration.
I would have literally died. I'd have been like, no. Nope. I'd have been like, I'm 70K in. I'm finishing this bit. Too bad.
I would give
saved a lot of it. MJ. I saved a lot of it. Yeah.
I have this very, very, very bad habit of not physically not being able to let go of the words that I wrote, right? So I got like, I want to say like I got like 25K into my current work in progress and know that I needed to start over because I hated it. I still have that 25K.
Good. You can use it later. Like, I don't, I have don't ever delete. Just stick it in a folder somewhere. That's what I tell everybody. To
it. It's like, and it was like, and take two. Like, and I'm going to keep it. So I could never. Shoo, that would have given me a heart attack. All right. So
remember A.L. Jackson when she told us she scrapped her 70,000 words?
No.
A book two. Never. She was like, I scrapped it all. And I was like, and she just finished book two.
I would never, never do that.
So, July of last year, I had started writing Kate and Eric's story. And I was like, right before the black moment, like the moment where like all hope is lost. And I got up to go pee. And my daughter somehow selected all and deleted. And then my computer auto-saved.
Shout out to your computer, dude.
72,000 words were gone. Completely gone. It auto-saved the deletion. And I could not recover it. So I feel you on the losing 95% of your manuscript. I cried. And then I drank a whole bottle of wine.
I would have literally committed, like, actually, like, killed myself. Honestly. I don't know. I'd have been like, yep, this book's not happening. Sorry. All right.
On to the next.
Yeah, move to the next one. All right. So Eric and Kate are getting their second chance after years apart. So what made you want to write a second chance romance?
They're my favorite to read. So I have been an avid romance reader since I was like 14 years old, and my heart went little pity patty for Cedric Diggory and Harry Potter. So my grandma gave me a romance novel because I was like, I kind of want to read something different. And I've been like a huge romance reader since high school. And Second Chance is always my number one. Like I will read a second, like is you tell me Second Chance and it's on my Kindle, like 100%. So
I love it. The angst is so good in Second Chance.
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. It's delicious because you're, and like in mine, you don't find out what happened to like split them up until a good like 25-30% through the book.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're just like, what happened? What happened? And like, I had so much fun writing their story. So much fun.
Build
and
up.
Like,
I love the build up.
Yes, it's so good. So good.
I like reading the different ways that people create second chance romances, like the way that they different ways to set it up, you know, like, are you starting the chapters out, seeing them from that age where they break up? Like, are you seeing the breakup in the prologue and then we're starting where they're at currently? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? I really like watching how people formulate a second chance romance and how they always end up so good, like never misses ever.
They're so, so good. So like I wrote, Kate and Eric present day forward, and I threaded in their backstory. My author wife Brianna just got done writing A Second Chance, and she like has like full-on backstory chapters, and they're fantastic, like freaking amazing. She, because I alpha read all of her stuff, so she sends me chapters per day, and I'm like, I'm claiming this man, he is mine forever.
I love it. I'll give you another way. So I'm writing a second chance, even though it's dark, but I'm writing a second chance, but I split mine up in part one and part two. So part one is like the breakup and part two is like the present.
So, okay. So is this Rook's story?
Yes.
And I think that's so cool how authors, our brains work and how we have decided for our characters that, okay, this is the best bet for you. You need to have your past threaded through. You need to have flashbacks. You need to have this. There was just so much shit from their past that I was like, I can't. Flashbacks would be so confusing in the novel because of everything that goes on in the present day. I was like, fuck it. I got to do part one. That's the best. That's the only thing I know how to do. So yeah, I love that. I love how authors are so different, but similar. All right, here we go.
So what was your favorite part about writing their story?
So Kate gets bullied growing up, and that is we write what we know. I got bullied growing up, and a lot of mine was due to like body image issues. Well, during Kate's time away from Felt, Idaho.
What are their names?
Huh?
What are their names?
I can't. I would need to change name to protect the innocent, because so Felt, Idaho. Felt, Idaho is actually somewhere I live. Well, I used to live in Teton Valley, Idaho, and Felt is less than like 20 minutes from it. And it's no longer technically a city, so I stole the name for it. But some of my bullies still live up there. And one of, I don't know how it happened, but a reader from that valley that I used to live in found my books, and she was like, oh my gosh. And it was a huge thing. Anyway, so I'm over it. I've healed. I'm badass and amazing. And the loss is on them. But Kate, during her time away from Idaho, when she's in Arizona, she gets healthy, not only physically, but mentally as well. And she really falls in love with all of the stuff that her body can do. And tapping into that healing that I did from, you know, being bullied growing up was really fun to put it on the page. Because I'm huge into body positivity. I am the biggest cheerleader you'll ever meet. If you ever do like Clifton Strengths, my number three is Woo, which is like pretty much golden retriever energy. Don't ever let my friends talk bad about themselves, and I will cheerlead you from the comfort of my own home until I die. That is my
story. True story. Alina and I have many conversations.
I love that. I'm just like, I just feel, I mean, for me, it's just all across the board. I feel like being positive and women supporting women in all aspects of life is so important. We get shit on enough by other people. Like, we got to have each other's backs, you know? And sometimes, you know, women are the most vicious towards other women. And it's like, damn, honey, we're going through the same shit and you're coming at me like this. Stop. So
I feel like
if you can, you know, uplift somebody's day with like a positive comment about their, you know, body image or, you know, anything in their life, I feel like that's super important. So kudos to you.
I'm like Oprah with compliments. Like, you get a compliment, you get a compliment. If I see something that I like, I'm not quiet about that. And I also if somebody, like another female, comes at me, I don't hold that against them, because that's something that's a rooted insecurity in themselves. I'm not responsible for that. I don't manage other people's feelings. I manage my own reactions and my own feelings. And those are the only things I'm responsible for. So I try to have a healthy outlook on it and not take stuff so
love personally. That. I love that. I try to do that, you know, and I think
it takes a lot of practice.
I think as I've gotten older, I've more developed the, like, I mean, I've always had the really, like, I don't really give a shit attitude. I mean, obviously it's like a shield, right? Because obviously you give a shit. It doesn't matter how hard you are on the inside, you give a shit, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I very much developed a thick skin growing up because I was raised by a single dad. So people didn't say shit to me because they were afraid I'd hit them in the face. And I probably would. But now that I'm an adult, I have now lessened my hit you in the face and more of like a, I don't really, like, that's a you problem, not a me problem. Yeah. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So appreciative of you being able to write that, because I think it's a very important topic. And I think that it's really important in romance as well. So kudos to you. So Love Reimagined released this past September, and this is the second book in the series, and we have Jackson and Olivia, which you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So these two have met a year earlier with a one-night stand, and now their friends are trying to play matchmaker, which I love that, because my friends used to do that, the same shit. Okay, so what was your favorite part about their story and the connection that they shared?
I had a lot of fun writing Jackson because he is very much the male version of me. I can never turn down like a bet. I put a lot of myself into Jackson. I make a joke about everything, even if it's inappropriate, because emotional trauma, like that's just who I am. And Olivia was probably the hardest I've ever had to write. I don't want to give spoilers away, but I literally took my worst nightmare as a mom and I wrote it into a story. I was in a really dark place when I wrote that, like her parts of the book, but yeah. I kind of like counteracted it with Jackson's like zest for life And he was really, really fun. Really, really fun to write because he's like my self-deprecating humor and like shenanigans out the window. So
I love that. You know, and a lot, I feel like a lot of authors are like, oh yeah, this female character is a lot like me. Like, I don't feel like you hear often that you make the male character like you, which I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. That's epic. All right, Stevie, go. You're next.
Okay, so Jackson has felt heartbreak when his ex cheated on him. Was there anything about Jackson that was hard to write?
I tend to write my females stronger than my males. And he needed a lot of work. So he had like the trauma in his backstory, but it was really balancing his, what had happened to him with his decision to actively move forward and put it behind him while balancing the being vulnerable enough to help Olivia break down her walls and come and get like come to the relationship with that, the mindset that they could move forward together. That was probably the hardest part about writing him.
I love it. Okay. So what can fans expect from the third book in this series?
Sparks.
I thought you were going to say stuff. That's a me answer. Stuff.
There's a lot of sparks. There are shenanigans and moonshine races.
What did you say?
Moonshine races.
Moonshine races.
Yes.
As in like white lightning moonshine, the liquor.
Yep.
What the fuck is a moonshine race?
Okay, so spoiler, sorry if anybody's, you know, listening, but they're pretty much, there's a townwide celebration every year and it's called the Cowboy Courses. And because like it's very rodeo circuit up there, it's like mud pie, you have mud pie throws, you also have like frying pan tosses, so like very, very like rodeo circuit hickish, like there's mutton busting and all of that fun stuff.
I'm from
the moonshine races.
I've never heard of this.
Oh,
this actually sounds kind of fun. I would go.
It is. So it was a lot of fun to write, but the moonshine races are pretty much 2 to 3 man teams in horse-drawn buggies, and you have your driver, and then your passenger goes like every stop or every quarter mile they stop, and then they do a shot of moonshine, and then they complete some sort of like drinking game. So there's like flip cup. You have to lasso like a rocking horse. You've got to do like a beanbag toss into a cowboy boot there. And it was so much fun to write. But they also, there's like prank boxes in the buggies. So you can like shoot confetti cannons at the other competitors.
It's like Mario Kart,
right? It's fun. Yeah. So it's like a rodeo version of Mario Kart.
I literally love that. First of all, there's a game that my friends and I play. It's not moonshine races, but it is Mario. It's like, we play Mario Kart, but and we're drinking alcohol. Okay, so like you're driving and you open up a beer or whatever beverage you're doing at the beginning of the game, and you have to finish that alcoholic beverage before you cross the finish line, but you can't drink and drive, so you have to pull over on the side of the road and drink and then drive, right? So
I love
if you want to chug it at the beginning, you could do that. If you want to chug it right before you finish the finish line, or like take breaks in between, it is the easiest way to get so trashed you cannot even see straight. Do not recommend if you are lightweight or have to drive that night, don't do it. But
I am 100% a lightweight, but we turned Cards Against Humanity into a drinking game. And that is no bueno. So like, if you're the judge, if you pick, say I pick your card, you don't have to drink, but everybody else does.
Nope. Oh, I love that. Oh my God.
Look, I already talked to the girls that are going to NOLA, and apparently I'm to bring my Cards Against Humanity game to NOLA.
It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited.
People are going to probably be on the floor after this. It's fine.
I would be on the floor. I literally, from 18 to 25, was pregnant or breastfeeding. So my alcohol tolerance is nil.
We're okay, literally sharing an Airbnb with like 12 authors, MPAs.
I mean, you told me about that. Yeah.
So this is going to be quite the experience in New Orleans.
All right, CB, take your favorite question and every author's like least favorite.
Oh yeah, this is fun. So if this series was to be turned into a TV series or movie, who would you cast as the main roles?
So I don't think visually. And when you guys sent me the questions, I sent them to my author wives and I was like, give me your picks. So I have a list. Yeah. So for Eric, Stian Bjorn, I can put his name in the chat because I feel like Miss Monty J is going to have a hard time spelling it. Or Maddie Gilbert. Or Maddie Gilbert. So either Stian Bjorn or Maddie Gilbert is definitely Eric. I know, right?
I love it.
And then Kate is Molly Quinn. So okay. Castle's daughter, if you've ever watched Castle.
Yeah.
And then Jackson is if Cole Hauser and Scott Eastwood had a baby, it would be Jackson Sawyer.
Okay. I love that combination.
Me too, because I love some Scott Eastwood. Man, it's beautiful.
Very pretty. And then Liv is absolutely 100% Liv Blakely. Like, 100% Liv Blakely. Allie is... Gossip Girl, right? She's in Gossip
Blake Girl. Blake Lively.
Yeah.
I said it backwards. Whatever.
Yeah.
See, okay. I don't think visually, and I don't watch a lot of movies or TV shows, so, like, they gave me this list, and I was, like, Googling them, and I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. I love her.
Yeah. And then Allie would probably be Margot Robbie.
Oh, I like.
Margot is so pretty.
She really is.
She's so pretty. And she's so fun. If you've watched any of her interviews, she's so fun.
I have such a girl crush on that woman.
And then Connor would probably be Thorin Bradley from TikTok.
Thorin Bradley. We're looking. Oh my God, you're talking about the lumberjack, aren't you? Yes! I didn't even have to, I was typing him in, Thorin Bradley. I was like, oh my God, wait, I know who that is.
So there is literally a part in Connor and Allie's story when I'm like, over 6 feet of lumberjack sex on a stick is exactly how I explain Connor.
I love that. And
Bree, she was like, this is Connor to me. And I was like, okay, yeah, 100%. Cause I'm not on social media a lot. So I'm not on TikTok very often. I suck at posting on there. Facebook is probably my number one social media, but Bree was like, you have to go check out this guy's TikTok. And he's like chopping wood. And I'm like,
yep.
I can get behind this 100%.
I think I'm the one who sent that to Bree. Cause her and I were talking about him because he's so pretty.
Yes.
He is literally stunning. And he has this one TikTok video where he says I think it's something about daddy. It says something and oh my God, I can't even. It gives me chills. It gives me literal chills. Okay, so next as we round out 2021 and head into 2022?
So I'm working on a new series. So book three. So Connor and Allie are in edits right now and I just started a new series. So the three books in that series will be out next year along with Connor and Allie. But I mean, I've got 3 or 4 days until the new year. So I'm going to go up to Colorado and hang out with my author wife for a week.
Oh, she's going to see Bree.
I figured. I did the math in my head. I love it. We're super excited to see what you bring to 2022 and all the great books that you're going to bring. And we're excited. So I'm going to move on to writing questions, which is my section of the podcast, obviously. Anyways, that was a joke, by the way. So
we know I don't write.
Yeah, you do. Shut up. Are you a plotter, a pantser, or somewhere in between?
I have tried to be a plotter. I have tried and I can't do it. So I'm right in between. So the way that I essentially write my books is Kate and Eric 100% were pantsed, and the amount of rewrites and drafting changes that I needed to do through the story kind of drove me nuts. So with Jackson and Liv, I sat down and I plotted my first act. So that was my first five beats in Romancing the Beat. If you're a structural writer, you know what that is. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote, knowing that my characters were going to do whatever the fuck they wanted to do. Sorry. They were going to do whatever the hell that they wanted to do.
You can definitely say fuck on the podcast. Okay.
They were going to do whatever the fuck they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, and I just, that first act. And then once I got to the second act, I plotted with what they had done in mind to the third act, knowing that they would probably go off the rails again. This way they can kind of do what they want to do, but I know where to start, a starting point to springload into the next act.
Yeah.
And that worked really well. So I did that again with Connor and Allie. So I'm kind of like in between. With this planter. New series. Yeah. So I'm like a planter. With this new series though, I went in and I hardcore plotted because there's like some suspenseful elements to it. And I wanted to make sure that I was hitting all of my P's and Q's and making sure I didn't like leave anything open.
Yeah.
And I'm already off script. So that was a terrible decision. I need to go back to being a planter.
You know, the beginning of my career, I was like, I'm a planter, you know, I am. And then I did this podcast and I hear all these authors talking about how they're pantsers and planters. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a plotter. I'm for sure a plotter. Like, without a doubt, some of the shit that y'all say that you do literally makes me want to break out in hives.
I don't know how people can like plot and keep their, like, my characters are like angry squirrels on crack in my brain.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I'm like, but it's not in the plan. There's a plan. Why are you not following the plan? So yeah. More power to you. If you can plot and stay on course, like Cecilia Mecca's like that. Like, she's a hardcore plotter. She plots out almost every single aspect of her books and she stays on track. And I'm like, more power to you. I cannot freaking do that.
I definitely plot like everything. I plot 10 chapters. Every 10 chapters. So like 10, 20, 30, 40 till the book is done. Or however many chapters that I do. And that way that it's still organic. Like, my characters very much so do. Like, if they go off the rails in a chapter and I'm like, okay, so we will adapt and shift this chapter to fit what it is that you're doing now. But I have to have a plot. I have to have an outline.
That's kind of what I do. Mine's a little bit looser than that because I primarily plot off of Romancing the Beat, but
like the wall.
I mean, she's got post-its.
Yeah, that's like chapter markers.
I use Plotter because it imports directly into Scrivener, and I don't like when I'm writing, I can't have like Plotter.
She uses Scrivener. She sells Scrivener to everybody that comes on here.
Yeah. Plotter app. What is it called? Like, what do you do on your phone or what?
No, hang. I can like show you a plot if you would. Oh, hang on. Damn it. But Plotter is pretty, it's literally a plotting tool. So I believe for like one device, it's like $25 a year. You could do like, just look up Plotter through Kindlepreneur. It's Plotter.
Okay, got it.
And you can either do, wait, I'm sorry. I've had it for so long. I have it on my computer, but they are launching a live desk, like a browser version of it.
Okay, cool.
And that's where if like you collaborate with anybody, that's a really, the web browser one is good, but essentially it pulls up like templates and stuff and you can plot your entire book in there. It has a spot for timelines, for characters, for locations. You can essentially build out your entire story in there.
Okay, cool. I love that. All right. I'm going to have to look that up because, you know, I'm always looking for tools to help me fucking plot shit and be more.
Oh, ma'am. If you need to, if you want like tools and stuff, let me know.
I'm taking
me know.
Because I have such a controlling personality, apparently, that I didn't even know that I had. This job has made me realize that I am a very controlling person, apparently. So
she is very type A. Just ask her PA.
I just want to make sure that everything has a thing. All right. That's all I'm saying. Anyway. So do you have any interesting writing quirks? Like when you sit down to go write, like, do you have to like, you know, say the Pledge of Allegiance or like eat Twizzlers or like wear a pair of socks or something like that?
I have the attention span of a cupcake. So if there is internet enabled on my computer or my phone within like reach distance, nothing's getting done. So I leave my phone in my bedroom. I get up hella early in the morning and I try to get as much writing as I can done before I take my kids to school. So.
Okay, cool. I love that. All right. So what do you like to do when you're not writing?
I'm like the queen of hobbies. Like, I'll try anything once, but I pretty much gravitate towards playing Call of Duty with my husband. Mm-hmm. I bake a lot. I do my own nails, like dip nails, and I watch anime with my husband.
I love anime.
We're basically MJ and her husband.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's awesome. So
I cool. Literally anime. Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, I got to show you my case that I got from my phone. Wait, I have another one too.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
You guys can't see it, but I'm showing her My Hero Academia phone cover.
So I'm not, like, I love reading, like, dark romance, but I'm never really, like, oh, yay, the anti-hero person. But I will say, I'm going to get a thigh tattoo of Todoroki on my freaking body. Like, wait, his face.
Show Todoroki?
Yeah.
Ah!
My boo thing.
I want, there's this picture of, like, there's this tattoo. Obviously, I want it done in, like, a different way. I would love to have it in, like, watercolors. But it's a three thing, it's a panel, like, and it's got three sections, and, like, you see the eyes of, like, Bakugo, and they're, like, orange, and then you have Deku, which is green, and then Shoto, which is red, and it's, like, in a panel, and I want that so bad, because that's my big three, baby! I love them! But I'll be honest with you, this last recent season, I realized that I'm not supposed to like the villains, and I get that. And I'm, don't get me wrong, when Shoto, Todoroki, and Deku, and Bakugo, and Class 1A go to whoop ass on Dobby and Tomurashi Garaki, I'm going to be full on Class A. We're fucking them up. Mm-hmm. However, that does not mean that the toxic side of me is not so in love with Dobby and Tomura. It is insane.
Oh. 100%. Like, I love reading dark romance, and I will cheer for them, but my, like, my podium of book boyfriends are typically good guys, because so it's just what I go for. So when they were fighting, Stain is when I fell in love with Shoto, when it was the Bakugo, Todoroki, and, like, Deku, and they were fighting Stain in that damn alley. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never ever
seen it ever happen in my whole life.
I'm like, I've never had an anime crush before. And I've watched a lot of them with my husband. And I'm like, what is this feeling in my chest?
I love this.
Why is this great?
I literally have so many crushes on that television show that it is insane. That is, it is literally impossible. Like, I love Shinzo, who's the guy who can use mind control, the purple hair dude or whatever. I love him. But in this
Eraserhead is, like, fantastic for if you want,
like, Mr. Awazawa is the love of my life. The love of my life, okay? The love of my fucking life, okay? I love him and his banana suit. Okay, but in this new season, Tomura Shigaraki, you see his background. And I was like, if you want me to be Class 1A, you have got to stop, A, making these villains, like, amp up. Because Tomura went from very creepy to very hot in a matter of one episode. And I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God, it's happening. It's happening. So... yeah, so, you know, I have my thing. Oh, my God. And then, okay, wait, I mean, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I don't usually, like, ship people together, but Sun Eater and Lamillion, those two are a fucking couple, and you can't change my mind.
Me neither. I'm 100% there with you.
Cannot change my mind. They are a couple, and so is Bakugo and Deku. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck! They're enemies to lovers. They love each other. I don't care. I don't care. All right, anyways, moving forward.
Sorry, team.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever had to Google for a book?
Oh, gosh, I wrote this down. So, it got cut from the book, but there was a scene where Jackson was giving Liv a hard time for bailing after the one-night stand. And I had to look up the female equivalent of what a nail and bail was. And there were some interesting things, like ways to say it, and I don't remember any of them right now. I have it bookmarked on my computer, but one of the related searches were unique ways to, like, title a flaccid penis, and there were some, like, I'll send you the link, you can look at them, but I was dying laughing, and I sent them to, like, my girlfriends, and we had a fantastic laugh out of it, because that's probably the weirdest thing.
Come and dump. Come and go. Like, there's, like, so many ways to say, like, hit it and quit it. It's insane.
Yeah, but I had to write it from, like, the female perspective, because she's the one that nailed and bailed.
Yeah. I love it.
So it was fantastic. But it ended up getting cut from the book because it was a little wordy and telly. So
I need the book. I need the link now. I need that link now.
Oh, I got you, boo.
All right, Stevie, take it away with reading questions.
All right. So what book has your favorite cover? Now, this can be one of your own or somebody else's.
So he's my number two, and you guys had her on your show, but Maria Lewis is like goals. And
no.
Nick Stamos is my number two book boyfriend. And the cover for Hold Me Today is like, oh, glorious. Yeah. I love that. So that's my favorite, probably cover. My quickly followed up by Love Me Tomorrow, because that's just hot.
Yeah, her covers are always gorgeous.
I love how she's just pulling these things off the shelf. I love this.
I have and then Claire Hastings, Out of Bounds. Like, look at this gorgeous cover. Like, hello.
Stunning. Love it. So
the, like, I mean, blue flames and so anyway. But yeah, so those are my favorite covers by other people. My favorite of mine is Reclaimed, because my like all-time favorite color is purple, and it's like a bluey purple mishmash. So I like how like the title.
Yeah, I love that. Oh. I love his face also.
Me too. It's very pretty.
I love his face. Stevie, what are you doing?
She's getting the cat.
Cat break.
It's okay. You probably heard my dog walking around.
He's a needy little person. He's fine. So what attracts you to a book? The cover, the blurb, or recommendation?
First and foremost, recommendations. I don't traditionally look at covers. Because I've read some really good books that don't have great covers.
Yeah.
Blurbs, I'll read them, but I don't really let it influence my decision. I never ever read reviews for books. A lot of times Facebook ads get me, and recommendations from my girlfriends, because they all read the same things I do. So, but I'm usually the one recommending. So
I love recommendations. That'll make me bump up like it on my TBR, like all the way to the top. If somebody I like recommends it to me, because obviously my friends know what I like.
I'm the queen of recommendations.
You are. You do a really great job at that.
I have a beautiful, beautiful spreadsheet. Recommendations. And they're ordered by trope and author.
They are.
Yeah. Indeed. I traditionally will just be like, what do you like? And then I recommend from there. So like, I've got my husband reads romance, because I found books that he likes. So Sherilyn Kenyon, her League series. He started with that and then just kind of like branched off, and he reads romance. So.
All right. I'm here for it.
Well, I have a lot of friends that do those weird reading challenges, like with the bingo boards and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I have a friend, Jess, who likes to send me the boards, and I will give her all the recommendations for everything on there. She does not go find them herself anymore. I do it.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
And then she just reads what I tell her to.
I love that.
So who are some of your favorite authors to read? And this is your chance to shout out your friend. So yes, Brianna.
So Bree, so I read both my peers, so people who are in the same area of like their publishing career as I am, just because like I want to support people who are around me. But I have Maria Lewis is probably my unicorn author.
I love her.
She FaceTimed me on my birthday last year, and I almost had a meltdown in my driveway. I just got done reading Kate Canterbury's The Worst Guy, and it is fantastic. Lucy Score, Claire Kingsley. Nora Roberts is probably my number one. Like, I will read her all the damn time, because she just has a way of evoking emotions in books that I will never be able to mimic or create in my own.
I love her.
Who else is on my, so Catherine Nolan, Iwana Andrews, Addison Kane is amazing, Myra Danvers, Addison Kane and Myra are dark romance authors. Mm-hmm. Shane Starrett is a dark romance author. He's fantastic. I like giving him a hard time, so he's a really good friend. Claire, Bree, Emily Silver. I read a lot. I've read like almost 500 books this year, guys.
Holy shit. Must be nice.
I read 600 last year and 150 this year.
582 last year, and I'm at like 497 this year. And that's just on my Kindle. That's not counting what like I ARC read for author friends. But I love Penny Reed, R.L. Matthewson. I could go on and on and on all day long. I really could.
I'm here for all of it. I'm here for all of it. All right. Wait. Go ahead.
She reached, but I know I already know that answer. So no, you're okay. But I will say Maria Lewis, her episode, everybody loves her episode. But it ended up being like 2 hours.
I listened to it. I listened when I'm in the car doing like school drop-offs and pickups, and it took me like 3 drop-offs and pickups to get through it. however, Maria Lewis was the first indie author I ever read, and the first indie author I ever binged. And from her, I like kind of like branched out, because I'm a poor bitch. I rely on my like library a lot. And then I found KU when it first came out. And then just from there, it's history.
She's awesome. I cannot wait to go to NOLA next year and meet her, because I already told her we're coming to NOLA. And she'll be in Philly in November with me, so I'll be excited to see her again.
But oh yeah, I forgot she's doing Indies in Bade this year.
Yep, she is doing her and Candy and Tia and Willow and Jen Sterling and our group from our indie panel are going to be there.
All of them, bro. All of them.
Is Smoke Detector Daddy going to be there?
No, God, no.
He's going to Vegas, though. He is going to
Vegas. We gotta get him and Jen like together in a TikTok just for fun. Don't cover your face. It was great.
It was great. Well, YouTube television. Like, everybody was upset.
My dad, dude. I literally cannot. I cannot with that man.
Anyway, your dad is literally like personality wise my husband. He will ham it up, and he is like the biggest goofball ever. And attention whore. And so when like that happened, I was dying laughing, and I was like, yeah, see, he's your dad, but I married that. So
I can't with him. He's too much.
He's the best. Oh my God. Like, if you listen to Lisa Suzanne's episode, he makes an appearance in there too.
He just keeps popping up. He just pops up whenever he wants to, whenever he fucking feels like it. He's just, yeah, hello, I'm here. You know, look at me. Like, dad, please.
Oh,
please.
But Trelina will get to meet your dad in Vegas.
I don't even want to talk about it.
It's gonna be fantastic. Your dad is awesome.
Thank you. We will tell him you said that. It'll just light his ego even more. Anyway, so we're gonna move to the last section of the podcast, which is trope questions. We love these questions. It's so much fun. So what's your favorite trope to write and why?
So far, second chance. Again, because of the angst in the backstory, and it's really challenging to figure out, like you said, how do you want to present that backstory? Do you want to zoom it in? Do you want different parts? Do you want to do flashbacks? Mm-hmm. So that was probably Kate and Eric's book was the most challenging for me to write, but also the funnest.
Okay, yeah, I like that. All right, Stevie, go.
What is one trope you would eventually like to write, and why?
It's not really a trope. It's kind of a subgenre. I want to write romantic suspense because I love that there's external crap going on that kind of like either forces your hero and heroine together or kind of like shoves them apart. And I feel like that would be a really cool tightrope to walk.
I love a good romantic suspense. Love it. My fave. I love dark romance. It's my shiitake mushrooms. I love it. So what is one trope you'll never write and why? Or if you're somebody who says never say never, what is like the farthest thing on your list?
Okay, so I know you guys have a thing about this, but I'm like the opposite of your formula, reverse harem. And I will say I will never write that. There are too many body parts for me to keep track of.
You are falling into our formula, because we have this theory that either people don't want to write, they'll say they'll never write reverse harem, or they'll never write secret babies.
And I won't write that either. That's why I said I'm kind of like the, like those are my top two I won't write. So Brie did a great surprise pregnancy. I also don't like reading or whatever baby pregnancies. Like those aren't my my favorite type of books because I read for an escape and I have semen pets here at home that I'm trying
semen
to ignore.
Pets.
I mean, that's what they are.
Semen pets. That's the best thing that anybody has ever called a child ever. Oh,
but,
my
I mean,
God.
I love them. I mean, I help create them, but I want to ignore them when I'm reading. So I'm like, I don't mind like single parent. I don't mind if there are kids in books. I don't want to read about pregnancy because mine sucked. And that takes me back to not a great place. So surprise baby, secret baby. Not my jam. I'll probably never write those. And I don't like, no shade to people who do write them. If you like that, absolutely go for it. 100%. I support you. I'm not your intended audience. So we'll just leave it at that.
Sorry. Yeah. I feel that on a spiritual level. I do. I really do.
I mean, there are some authors who make bank just writing them though, which is really funny to me because there's angst. Alexis has written, I mean, Alexis Winters has written so many of them. I've lost count, but then you have Nikki Ash, who's written a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are authors who gear directly towards that, and I am their intended audience that they normally seek me out.
It's no shit.
Fine.
I literally can't. All right, CV, take our last question, ma'am. I almost did it again.
If you were in a book, what trope would you want for your story?
So I kind of I got my trope when I met my husband, and that was like friends to lovers. So I kind of want to try enemies to lovers because you can't really tell with the color in it, but like I'm a redhead and I like to fight and argue. And I feel like I would do that part justice if it was like real life, but yeah, probably enemies to lovers or like forced proximity, like give me a single bed and I will sully the shit out of a hot harrow. Like I will sully the shit out of him.
I love that. I think it would be so great in a enemies to lovers. Honestly, you're the heroine everybody wants to be in an enemies to lovers, like 100%.
I would choose a billionaire just because they can buy me books and have a library, and he could be anything.
Mine is reverse harem because
shockers.
I like
you have yours picked out because I listened. Yeah. So you have it like, I don't know, if I had to have a reverse harem, the Hollow Boys are kind of at the top of my list right now. Because I started that this morning and I sent you messages and I'm like 35% in right now. And I was like, okay, you have to put it away I just said my real name, whatever. But like, I had to put it away so that I could get ready for this. And I was like, oh, I can't postpone the damn podcast, but I want to keep reading. So that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the night. I'm going to be reading because I'm obsessed with Thatcher. Like I've never been like, oh, I want to read a serial killer romance before, but now I do. So thanks for that, hooker.
Honestly.
And all because I kept telling her, like, you should really read MJ's new book.
Everybody and their mother is like a Thatcher fucking super fan. Like if I had divided everybody into clubs, Thatcher has like nearly everybody in that club. There's like a few people who are Rook fans, and I think that'll change once this book comes out, because Rook fucking just, that man, he just took off.
He's gonna be one of the longest books.
He's kind of like the maniacal, like the maniacal bad boy, where you don't know if he's gonna kiss you or kill you.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of here for that.
And then you have like the select few that are Silas girls, and I love them because they fucking are crazy. Them hoes be in my DMs like, you get a teaser for Thatch, you know what you're doing for Silas yet, you know what you're doing for Silas yet, and I'm like, dude, he's the last book, everybody remain calm, it's gonna happen when it happens.
That's really good though. So like, have you read Laura Thalassa's Four Horsemen series?
Yes.
From day one, people wanted death. They wanted death, like, and in her group people were going nuts, and she only releases like one book a year, so you knew it was going to be a goddamn wait. So that's sign of a dedicated fan base right there.
I know, but I mean, he needed to be last because he needs the time. He needs
absolutely, considering what happens. Like, I won't spoil it, but I want to read like the rest of the night.
You'll have to message me with what you think at the end. You'll have to message me.
You're not getting like blow by blow messages, because I love doing that. Like, my whole reaction, I'm like, nope, cool.
Look, she's off tomorrow, so you can
our messages out. Yeah, blow me up. All right, so that's our last question for you on the podcast. You've been such a phenomenal guest and a phenomenal friend, and we love having you on here. We want to give you a few minutes to talk about if you have a book coming up soon or a sale or anything like that, and then let our listeners know where to find you. The floor is yours.
So I don't really have a whole lot. I'm still in like the building my backstage or backlist department. Book three, so Connor and Allie, will come out February 24th. And you can pretty much find teasers for that and all of that information by subscribing to my newsletter, which is accessible at my website, alinalee.com, or you can pretty much find me on any social media platform. So just kind of working through edits on that. I tend to keep it low key. I stay in my lane when it comes to writing and all of that fun jazz. If you are an aspiring writer, though, I do run a group called Readers Writing Romance. And we've been a group for a little bit over a year now, almost 2 years, 2 years in May. And so if you are an aspiring writer and you want tips and tricks and, you know, kind of like a helping hand or a cheerleader, because that's what I am, feel free to join.
I love that. And you're amazing. I love that so much. I could have used that shit when I was fucking doing this shit. But thank you again so much for coming on and talking to us. You've been amazing, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you.